Another hundred people just got off of the train and came up to the ground.
You're listening to the song Another Hundred People by Stephen Sondheim. This song was the opening number in St. Olaf's fall production of Marry Me a Little, the story of a New York couple that meets, falls in love, argues, reconciles, and gets married. Sound like a typical love story? It is, and that's the aspect of the story that director Gary Gisselman was trying to capitalize on. It just so happened that this production took place during the marriage amendment vote in Minnesota, which, if passed, would have ruled same-sex marriage as illegal. And Gisselman had made an artistic choice to cast the two leads as females.
And they meet at parties with their friends of friends, or they never know. Will you pick me up, or do I meet you there?
This artistic choice, in conjunction with the various amendment campaigns in full swing on campus, led us to wonder, what is the place of political activism in the performing arts, especially on a college campus? Is it an effective method of communication? Is it accessible? Does it work? We decided to ask around. Political activism has been a part of the performing arts for a while. Folk musicians like Joan Baez and Pete Seeger, as well as groups like Peter, Paul, and Mary, used performing arts as forms of political protest during the civil rights era of the 1960s. The musical Hair was written as a Vietnam War protest in 1968 and was a huge hit to large audiences. People have seemed to pair the performing arts and political commentary for years, so we decided to see how the two interact today. We're here at St. Olaf College, a small, private, liberal arts school in Minnesota known for politically active students and excellent performing arts programs. The marriage amendment resulted in a huge response from the St. Olaf campus, especially through the prominence of the Vote No campaign. During this time, Gisselman produced Marry Me a Little through the theater department, and St. Olaf's GLOW Club, which is an acronym for gay, lesbian, or whatever, put together a cabaret in support of the Vote No campaign. These performances both generated conversation among audience members and the student body. We decided to go straight to the creative source. Gary Gisselman, an artist in residence at St. Olaf College, explained to us the ideas behind the concept for his show and how he had predicted the performances would be affected by the vote.
It occurred to me during the summer when I was working on it, thinking about it, and then I realized that we were going to be doing it right around the marriage amendment time. And unfortunately, we were doing it right after the vote. So I thought, well, if the vote goes the way that we would not like it to go, then it's going to be an homage to the not passage of the marriage amendment. But I thought that would be okay.
He also told us that his motivation behind casting two women was not necessarily political.
I didn't really have an idea of that I wanted it to be political theater. Although, I don't want to be disingenuous enough to say that when I cast two women in it, I knew that was not going to be political. Of course, it was political. What I liked most about it and the idea of it was it not to be a political statement other than two people meet, fall in love, have problems, and end up getting together.
So, rather than choosing a piece of theater to stick it to the man or make a political statement, he decided to make it art first. If it had political connotations because of the context in which it was performed, so be it. So, if he chose to focus on theatrical aspects rather than political content, what is his view on political theater?
I don't believe that political theater very often works when it's designed to be mostly political. I think if it's really good theater, then it works as politics. But I think too often if you do something that's straight on political, you end up just preaching to the choir. You know, the only people that are coming and going along with it are people who already agree with you.
However, he argues that though theater may not be the most effective way to inform the uninformed about political issues, the theater forces people to think about things they may not have before. Finally, we asked him the whopper question. Are the performing arts a necessary or effective medium for political commentary? His answer?
I don't think it's enough for it to be good politics. I think it has to be good art. And then it works. I think just to do things that sort of bang people over the head is less effective.
So it seems the answer, folks, is that it has to be good theater first, or the political message won't have a lasting effect. However, seeing that there was indeed an event that seemed to be politically centered before performing arts centered, we decided to get another perspective.
We need some light.
first of all, we need some light. You can't sit here.
We talked to St. Olaf student Tucker Moore, director of last fall's Marriage Amendment Cabaret titled Let There Be Light. When we asked about his motivation to coordinate a cabaret that opposed the passage of the marriage amendment, he told us that the LGBTQ community needed, as the lyrics of the title song suggest, some light.
It's exhausting. It's hard to wake up every day knowing that your civil rights are going to be voted on, and it's hard to kind of relive, I'm sure, what people of other races and ethnic backgrounds have had to deal with in the past. Because there were so many people who identified as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, and ally in the crowd, I wasn't necessarily trying to convince anyone of anything. It was more trying to inspire that hope and optimism that I think is so important to this battle.
We asked Tucker if he thinks the performing arts are a good way to spark conversations about marriage equality.
I think it's a very good way to get people talking about it. Everyone just has a unique reaction to music, to dance, and to acting. And so the fact that it can touch everyone, I think, is important. Most recently in New Zealand, when they legalized gay marriage, the first thing the people did in whatever chamber they were voting in is they started to sing.
Find some way to survive, and you find out.
Delving further into our investigation of the performing arts, we asked Tucker to describe what he sees as the purpose of art.
The fact that art makes you vulnerable to public opinion, it makes you vulnerable to people thinking positively or negatively about your performance, that's a big step to take. Art, especially singing and acting together, brings people together. And very, very seldom do we have opportunities for that. Politics exists because people disagree. Different religious denominations exist because people disagree. And art exists because people are so fed up with those things that they need to express it somehow. Art is just this constantly evolving reaction to the stress of everyday life. To be able to be a conduit of compassion and cooperation and to do it through music and performing artistry, I think is just, it was a beautiful opportunity.
Finally, we asked Tucker if he had any stories to tell from his experience as a director of Let There Be Light. He responded with the story of one young woman in the audience.
She comes up to me and she's just in tears, like, I have to register in Minnesota. She's from Illinois, like, I have to register here. That's the biggest pat on the back that I can get, was someone saying, I'm from a different state, but because of what the cast did tonight, I am feeling compelled to register in Minnesota just so that she could vote no on this.
We also talked to audience member Michelle Wheeler about her experience after seeing the cabaret.
It was just a really great, like, rallying point. It's like everyone was there. Pretty much everyone had the same opinion about the subject matter. So it was just a matter of getting people hyped up and, like, really emotionally engaging the audience. And the cabaret absolutely did that. It's great to be in a room of people who you know are with you. And especially coming from the LGBTQ community, like, being in that room and knowing that everyone there was really truly clapping, and the emotions and the smiles and the laughter, knowing that that was genuine was a really powerful thing.
In the case of the cabaret, it seems the main goal of the coordinators was to unite and inspire. The performing arts are not only an effective medium for sparking conversations, but also for strengthening the morale of the activists themselves, just like what we saw with the folk singers during the civil rights movement. Also happening in Minnesota at the time, actors performed Standing on Ceremony, the gay marriage plays, in the summer of 2012. A series of scenes highlighted same-sex marriage, another tactic to raise awareness of the Vote No campaign during the election season. Reviewers commented that the overall feel of the piece was that the issue of same-sex marriage ultimately boils down to love, and explained that it was proof of the importance of the art in political debates. The Twin Cities Gay Men's Chorus performed Robert Seeley's Marry Us across the state during the voting season, another example of political awareness raised through the performing arts. It's no surprise that many political campaigns gain steam and followers through the performing arts, especially on college campuses where the arts are valued and performances are so well attended. We think that performing arts are excellent means of prompting conversation, especially with regards to political issues, but we want to open it up to our listeners. What do you think? Contact us at hindman@stolf.edu to further the conversation. Special thanks to Gary Gisselman, Tucker Moore, Leah Voigt, Michelle Wheeler, Matt Rohn, Eric Fuhrslocum, Matthew Terhar, and the American Conversations Class of 2015 for their contributions and passion for continuing conversations.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.